Father, we thank you today for this body of believers that are gathered here in your name. And yes, Lord, whether we would call ourselves Presbyterians, Baptists, Methodists, or whatever, the point is we're Christians, and it means we put our faith in Christ for salvation, and we know that Jesus is the only way. And we also know that through Him and through Him alone, we have eternal life. So that's what we come to proclaim today. And we thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. For without His ministry among us, not one person could be saved, and not one of us, after salvation, would have the power for witnessing, and not one of us would be able to grow in our walk with you, or any of the other things that you do in our lives. So we want to thank you again for the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that, once again, you will remind us that except for the filling of your Holy Spirit, we're just empty earthen vessels. We pray now that you'll take your word and use it in our hearts and in our lives for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I don't know why, but I just felt led for two or three Sundays to address again a subject we've talked about many times before, but which we can never exhaust and which has never diminished in importance since the last time that we talked about it. Now, if you're one of those who likes to follow along with the notes or whatever, now would be the time to get those. I think I'll preface today's message with this statement, and that is, if you're not evangelizing anybody and you're not sharing the gospel, then you probably don't need the message this morning. And if you're not reading your Bible and studying God's Word and actively seeking Christian growth, then you probably don't need this message this morning. And the Holy Spirit is given for a specific purpose and is probably the most underutilized resource that God has given to each and every believer. So though we may know some things about the Holy Spirit, it's very important that we understand who He is and what He does. So I want to review some of those things for us. The other thing I want to say about the Holy Spirit is, the Holy Spirit, as we're going to see here as we begin this morning, is a multitasker. I hear that word all the time. Are you a multitasker? On the one hand, He's out there evangelizing people and bearing witness to who the Lord Jesus Christ is, as we're going to be talking about this morning. On the other hand, He's sitting there next to the person who has their Bible open, reading the Bible, and showing them the meaning of the Word. Then, when the believer prays, He joins right in the intercession, and sometimes actually takes over and finishes the prayer for us, because we don't know exactly what we ought to say. And then He empowers people for things that they would never be able to do on their own. Common people, like you and me. These people you read about in church history that God used to do such great and mighty things, they were just common, ordinary people, like any of us seated here today. But somewhere along the way, they began to really get into God's truth. They were more than bench warmers. If you're a bench warmer now, are you going to be a bench warmer when you get to heaven? Like we say, I can only imagine. But it starts right here, right now. God has given us the wonderful opportunity in this life not only to know Christ, but to serve Him. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And to serve Him means not just that we are nice to other people and serve other people, but to serve Him means we do the things that are pleasing to Him. And the number one thing that pleases Him is that we're seeking Him. Remember Mary? She was seated at His feet. Martha was killing herself in the kitchen. Martha got irritated and said, Lord, tell my lazy... She didn't say that, but it was implied. Sister, to help me. And He said, Martha, Martha, you're worried about a whole bunch of stuff, in brackets, It doesn't really matter. And Mary has chosen the good part and will not be taken from her. So we want to please the Lord. And the Holy Spirit, well, let's look. This is very, very basic. But let's just look at a few basic. I'm sure we already know these. Who is the Holy Spirit? Number one, third person of the Trinity. You've heard it many, many times. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're all of the same essence, all equally and eternally coexistent, always in full agreement with one another, and though they have different personalities and different functions, there is never a time they are in not full agreement, in full fellowship with each other, and whatever one is doing, you can be sure the other two, even if it's behind the scenes, are involved in it. So, the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything on His own. He comes to bear witness to the Father and to the Son and to carry out the Father and the Son's will and purposes in our lives. But He always does whatever He's been told by them. And so He's the third person of the Trinity. Thank God. With anyone missing, it's not complete. Number two, eternally coexistent with the Father and the Son. Number three, I think we know this fact. He was active in the Old Testament at certain times, places, and in certain people. But after Jesus died and rose again and returned to the Father, He said, pray, because I'm going to send you the promise of the Father. So thirdly, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost to oversee, energize, and implement God's plan of redemption throughout the gospel age. He is the active agent at the moment of salvation. He is the active agent in all subsequent Christian growth, and He is the active agent in all authentic gospel ministry. And I say that because there's a lot of gospel ministry that it's not for me to judge, but that I know, you know, a lot of so-called gospel ministry is done in the flesh, is done using man-made methods, man-made things. And if there's any place where we need to depend fully upon the Holy Spirit, it is in this business of evangelism and reaching people for the Lord. So that's why I say in all authentic gospel ministry. So the Holy Spirit, today we're going to center on His role. He has different roles. Today we're going to center on His role in evangelism. And this is very, again, I mean, it could be so much more expansive than this, but when you see somebody come to the Lord, like Ray prayed with his friend 9 days ago to receive the Lord, and he received the Lord, and the Lord gave him the proper moment to witness. Or you pray with a child here in Awana, and hopefully we'll have a lot of those this year, coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Believe me, the Holy Spirit is the active agent there. And if He isn't there, nothing's happening. Somebody's just saying some words. The Holy Spirit is the implementer of everything that Jesus bought and paid for on Calvary. He is the one who actually does it and carries it out and works in the hearts and in the lives of people. So, what does the Holy Spirit do in the area of evangelism? Here's just a few. He bears witness to Christ. That's His number one job. People already know there's a God, unless they're just bent on denying it. It says in Romans 1 that we can understand there's a God just by looking at the things that are made. It doesn't take a genius to figure out that there's a God that made it all. And even the primitive people that don't know Jesus and worship spirits and everything else, they at least have enough sense to know that there's a creator. They don't know who he is, but they have enough sense to know there's a creator that made everything, but that doesn't save them because they don't know about Jesus Christ. And that's why people like Brian and Brooke Johnson and others go to places so that people that have not heard about Jesus can hear and get that message and be saved according to God's plan of redemption. And praise God, there are people that offer themselves to do this. But he bears witness to Christ. The Holy Spirit could spend all day long trying to prove to people that there's a God and it wouldn't save one of them. Because salvation doesn't have to do with believing in God. The scripture says, the devils believe and tremble. It doesn't have to do with believing in God. It has to do with knowing who Christ is. And it has to do with knowing what Jesus Christ did on the cross and what that means. That is the ministry of salvation. And so in the area of salvation, the role of the Holy Spirit is to take any word that is spoken, any word that comes from the written page, from the scripture itself, from a gospel tract, from an article, from over the radio, from you, the person's friend speaking to them. He takes the word of God that is shared, and the Holy Spirit bears witness to that person that is still in darkness, still spiritually dead, who has not the capacity to understand who Jesus is except by the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why you can share the information, but you can't bring anybody to Jesus. You can invite them to come to Jesus, but the one that actually seals the transaction and does the work in their heart is who? The Holy Spirit. That's why I get upset with liturgical worship, because in liturgical worship, people think that because they were baptized as a baby and because they sat in a pew all those years and because they knew the right times to read some phrases out of a prayer book or something, that that makes them a believer in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. If that's only formality and if there isn't the Holy Spirit behind it making it real and true to their hearts, they don't know Jesus yet. And by the way, the same applies right here at SNCCC. Until the Holy Spirit makes it real to you, it isn't real. So one of his jobs is to bear witness to Christ and who he is. Who is he? God's only begotten Son. Who is he? The Messiah. Who is he? The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world and it shed his blood and all these things that we're constantly talking about, the different facets. That's who Jesus is. And we can't even understand that, before we're saved without the help of the Holy Spirit to understand it. Number two, he bears witness to Christ in the sense of letting us know who Christ is. God's sinless Son that he sent into the world. Secondly, he bears witness to the cross. Not just to Christ. There's a lot of people out, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh yeah, I believe in Christ as the teacher and I try to follow his teachings as set forth in the Sermon on the Mount. Won't get you there. They're missing important truth. The Holy Spirit has never gotten through to their heart to let them know not only who Jesus is as God's sinless Son, but what his death on the cross means, because that's the place of redemption. That's the place of the shed blood. That's the place where the penalty for sin was paid for all time. That is the place where God took our sins and put them on his Son and then had his Son pay for them with his shed blood. That is the place where sin was judged for all time so that I could then be free and be made righteous in him. That is the place where the transaction took place. So the Holy Spirit is bearing witness to who Jesus is as God's Son, but he's also bearing witness to the cross and to the atonement of Christ's shed blood on the cross, which we will be referring back to today and do every time that we take communion. His suffering and death for us. And then number three, some of you may not like this one. To convince or convict. You hear those two words used interchangeably. Use either one you want. To convince of sin and total condemnation. Because until I know how bad the news is, I can't know how good the news is. One of the things that the Holy Spirit must communicate to our hearts in order for us to come to true salvation is that we are under God's total condemnation as sinners. All, who knows this verse? All have sinned. How many? Most? Some? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means they are under God's total condemnation, not His partial condemnation, where if they do enough good works over here, then maybe they can offset the bad they've done with the good that they've done over here. That's one of the biggest lies that the devil ever invented, and it is still one of the most popular, even in church circles, I'm sad to say. Totally condemned. Totally 100% condemned. Could not be any more condemned. Even if we've only committed one sin. We're under God's total condemnation. But in a way, that's good news when we understand it. Because being under total condemnation qualifies us for the grace of God as a free gift that we cannot earn. You're not going to understand how precious the gift is until you understand how totally condemned you are in yourself outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, these are the roles of the Holy Spirit leading up to salvation. And when you're witnessing to somebody, and you're praying for somebody, you need to be praying for these three things for that person. Holy Spirit, show them who Jesus is. Holy Spirit, show them the meaning of the cross. Holy Spirit, show them how totally condemned they are. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, they need to know this. Then at salvation, here are some things the Holy Spirit does. At some point in the sharing, at some point when the person has begun to understand, through and by the work of the Holy Spirit, working with the Word, working with your witness, or whatever means the Lord is using, faith begins to build in the person. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. You have to be willing, but you can't produce that on your own. That is the Holy Spirit planting faith in your heart. So that you're not just saying the words, yes, I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. No, no, it's, I know it. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. The faith begins to mount. And so at that person, here's what he does. His job is to bring to faith and repentance. And these two go together. Repentance, by the way, means turning around. If you've ever heard Billy Graham preach, you know this one. It means to do a 180. It means you simply change your mind and you start going a different direction. And faith. Faith toward Christ and a rejection of all that former sin life. I'm turning to faith in Christ. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can lead us across as we pray or whatever we did. It's the faith. Yes, we need to speak the words, but it's the faith. And the Holy Spirit then does the work in us. And you can read these scriptures later, but it talks about His role in this. And then number two, affect the new birth. He's the one that actually, you know, when the doctor hits that baby on the behind and they do their first cry, delivers a child, and all of a sudden we've got a live, breathing baby here. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He is the obstetrician or whatever at that moment. He is the one who puts the spiritual life into us. We are born again of the Spirit, not of religion, not of formality, not of good works, not of going through the motions. We are born of the Spirit of God. Either we are born of the Spirit of God or we're not born again. Can I hear an amen? One or the other. Number three, I love this one. His job also, and all this happens in close proximity, sometimes within the same 60 seconds. Seal for salvation. Did you know that we're sealed? From the moment we're truly born again, we're sealed for salvation, and the Holy Spirit is that seal. And God can identify it anywhere He looks, because He can see the seal. Seal not there, I'm not His. How do you know? Oh, we put labels on things. How do I know this book is mine? The kids are going back to school now. How do I know this book is mine? Oh, it's got the label. It right here. It's got my name on it. This is mine. That's the Holy Spirit. Is the seal. So, that's what He does. And you can read those scriptures. And some of us need to grow in this area, but His job at the moment of salvation and from then on is to provide full assurance. It upsets me when I talk to somebody that's been a Christian and yet you ask them those basic questions again. It's like, well, I sure hope so. What do you mean you sure hope so? Do we need to go back and explain this all again? Did Jesus die on the cross for your sins? Was He the total payment for your sins? Did you trust Him fully to forgive you and cleanse you from all of your sins? And all of that? Then you're saved. You're saved. And I know the enemy, he'll come back and try to, you know, he'll take you back to works. He'll say, well, your attitude today isn't very good, so you must not be a Christian today. My attitude has nothing to do with my being a Christian. And I'm sure glad it is, because if it was tied to my attitude, there's some days I wouldn't go to heaven if Jesus came back. It's tied to the fact that I trusted Christ as my Savior and as my Lord. The Lord will take care of my attitude, thank you very much. And He will discipline me, but that's none of the devil's business. And the devil loves nothing more. If he can't get you, I tell you what, if he can't get you to kind of, you know, want to go back or whatever, but he'll just try to rob your joy by taking away your full assurance. Don't let the devil do that to you. It's not based on what you've done. It's based on what Jesus did that day at Calvary. And the job of the Holy Spirit is to give you that assurance. It says right there in Romans 8 that the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. How many here have children? How many here is somebody's child? You may feel like disowning them once in a while, but you don't, do you? Has there ever been a day since you were born that you weren't your parents' child? Maybe you misbehaved. Well, that's the day you got disciplined. But you didn't stop being your parents' child. And we don't stop being His child on a given day because of a specific chain of events. Don't let the enemy do that to you. So these are some of the functions of the Holy Spirit in evangelism. These are the things that only He can do and you and I can't do. And I think that even though we use the verbiage and we say, well, you know, when you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in and lives in you. I don't know why, but I just get the feeling that at the practical level, a lot of believers actually still picture him as being someone kind of out there instead of right here. He'll be just as close. He'll be just as involved in your witnessing, in your praying, and all the things you truly do as a believer unto the Lord, your search of the Word, as you want Him to, and as you allow Him to, because that's why He's here. It's the only reason He's here. So for you, we'll talk about that next week. It's empowerment and growth. But for that unbeliever, it's bringing them to the knowledge of who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and that without Him, their condemnation isn't partial. It's total. And then at the point of salvation, it's the Holy Spirit that actually brings the person to faith and repentance, affects the new birth, puts it into effect, activates it. You ever had a card and you have to call a number to activate it? Seals you for salvation and gives full assurance. Thank God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Shall we pray? Father, as your people today, I just pray that you would help us to better understand the ministry of your Holy Spirit as it pertains to the unbeliever and as it pertains to the believer. We want everything that you offer us, Lord. We want everything that you've got for us. And we're only going to lay hold on it through the ministry and work of your Holy Spirit. But you have given us another comforter, you said, or counselor, or helper. There are different words there. To be with us always. And so, Lord, thank you for the growth your Holy Spirit has produced in us. Thank you for the day the Holy Spirit convicted us of our sin. And let us know that outside of Jesus, we are hopeless. Thank you for the day He effected the new birth in our lives. Thank you for the day that He sealed us. And thank you for the full assurance. And Lord, may that grow more and more in us every day. And then also add to that, we pray, indeed, Lord, a love and a concern for those who do not yet know you, because your Holy Spirit wants to do in them and for them what He's done for us. But let us not tackle these things on our own, but rather in the power of your Spirit. Let us understand that we can't, but He can. We can share the information. We can look for the opportunity, but it's your Spirit that makes it real to the individual. Thank you. Or by your Holy Spirit giving us an understanding of what the broken bread represents and what the fruit of the vine represents and what that means for our salvation. And even as we partake of the communion this morning, would you, Lord, drive it home anew in our hearts today. Thank you for your wonderful love. In Jesus' name, amen.